Well, guys, go ahead and turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts in the New Testament. We're going to be continuing this morning with our series that we started last week entitled Anointed, and we're talking about life on this side of the cross. We're talking about life after Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, but then not only was he resurrected, but Jesus also ascended into heaven. And he made a very specific promise to us. And we're going to look at that promise and a couple of other things that we see in Scripture this morning, that we would receive the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about this morning is something that a lot of churches, I guess more particularly a lot of Baptist churches, don't talk about the Holy Spirit because we're scared of this topic. And we have a lot of misunderstanding. So this morning and for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at what it means to live life not only with Christ's resurrection in mind, but with an understanding, being mindful of the fact that Jesus came back to life, and that we need to understand that when he ascended into heaven, he didn't just leave us to deal with life on our own. And that's an incredible promise and understanding in itself, that Jesus didn't just leave us to deal with life on our own, that he made this incredible promise. The last word that we mentioned last week that Jesus had spoken to his disciples was this. It says that Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Now we're in Acts chapter 1 and we're in verse 6, and we're going to look over just kind of refresh this morning. Now how many of you, let me ask you this question real quick. All right, y'all, everybody look up here. You guys have those sermon note pages, right? In your worship guide? Everybody got your sermon note page out? Pick them up, wave them up. Wave your sermon note page in the air like you don't care. All right. Some of y'all got that. But anyway, all right. So here's the thing. I didn't get to all of those fill in the blanks last week. How many of you know that? Say amen. Amen. How many of y'all went home just torqued over the fact that I didn't give you all the fill in the blanks? Some of you I know did because I've gotten calls. Preacher, you didn't fill in all the blanks. Well, live with it. Suck it up. I may not give you all the fill in the blanks every week. But it's just listen. Go and just study those scriptures and figure it out yourself. Make up your own words. That's what I do. Do whatever you want. Just make sure it's got alliteration, that it may start with the same letter. You'll be preaching in no time. So get your sermon note sheets out this morning. We're going to dive back in. Acts chapter 1. And he told them, he says, listen, he's talking to his disciples. He says, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem, but I want you to wait for this gift. I want you to wait for this gift that my Father has promised. And he said to them, he said, in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the what? With a what?
Holy Spirit.
You're going to be baptized with the
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we're trying to understand then, what does this mean? What is this? How does this apply to us? And then Jesus went on and said this to them in verse 7. He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here's another one of God's promises. And all through Scripture, we see that God gives us these incredible promises. So here's another one of God's promises. He says that God had promised us that when his Son came back home to be with the Father, that the disciples of Christ would never be alone having to fend for themselves, or even his disciples in this generation, that we would never be alone having to fend for ourselves. That and then Jesus brings up this promise. And remember, I love this definition of a promise. A promise is a guarantee of a future result. You got that? I love that definition. A promise is a guarantee of a future result. So Jesus says, I'm making you this promise. I'm guaranteeing this. Something is going to happen in the future that is going to empower you like you never could have dreamt of. And so Jesus is making this promise that that's going to be fulfilled in just a few days. And what was promised? The promise was this, that God would send the Holy Spirit and they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a kid, I can remember our pastor. I remember our pastor preaching about the Holy Ghost. Now, this is when I was like maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. I remember our pastor preaching about the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to be real honest with you. When I would hear my pastor talk about the Holy Ghost, it sounded real mysterious. Because I was a kid, right? And I would sneak out of my room after my parents went to bed at night on that big box console of a television we had. And I would get in there and I would watch movies late in the evening. And some of them would be scary. After my parents had gone to bed, I would watch ghost movies. Do y'all remember The Twilight Zone? Woo! Y'all remember that? And Rod Serling. You know, wasn't that his name? Rod Serling? Yeah. And the Night Gallery and all that stuff. And I would watch that stuff. And I'd sitting there like 3 feet in front of the television, you know, just watch. Woo! And I would hold a pillow. And they would be talking about ghosts. And then the preacher would start talking about the Holy Ghost. And I was like, well, maybe he's a ghost, but he's kind of holy, so maybe he's a nicer ghost. Maybe he's kind of like Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know. Maybe the Holy Ghost is a friendly ghost, and he's going to hover around whenever I need him. Or maybe he's a ghost like on the Amityville Horror that I stayed up one night and watched when my parents were in bed, you know. And maybe sometimes he gets really angry and goes, you know, what is this ghost thing? So, and we have all of these misunderstandings of what the Holy Ghost is, and we hear this word. So if there's ever been any confusion about anything in the church, there's been a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. There have been entire Christian denominations that have been formed around their personal interpretation about what the Holy Ghost is. Or who the Holy Ghost is, right? And we'll get into that in just a minute. So you can ask people. As a matter of fact, if you want to do something fun this week, just as you're in your going to school, going to work, just look at people and say, hey, what do you think about the Holy Ghost? And then just step back and watch their heads implode, right? I mean, find some Presbyterians, you know, find some Methodists, find a couple of Baptists even, and then find you some cat. What do you think about the Holy Ghost? And just step back and they're going to be like, well, I don't know. What do I think? Find you a good Pentecostal. They'll have a lot of things, you know. Well, I'll tell you what we think about the Holy Ghost in my church. But here's the thing. All of these different churches, all of these different denominations, all of these different groups of people have their different perception, understanding of what or who the Holy Ghost is. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So because so many people have these really strange misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, have y'all heard some weird stuff about the Holy Spirit before? Anybody? Just me. Preacher, this is the most weird thing I've heard about the Holy Spirit. It's what you've been sharing us about Casper. But anyway, a lot of our misunderstandings come from growing up in a church that didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of people, and I've spoken with some of you just over the last couple of weeks, that you didn't really hear a lot about the Holy Spirit growing up in church because it wasn't talked about. Some people have learned some very odd things about the Holy Ghost from their family members, or just odd things in general from their family members. Weird stuff about everything. But they've watched too many Steven Spielberg movies. All of these different things, because there's a line between what Hollywood talks about a ghost and what the Word of God talks about the Holy Ghost / the Holy Spirit. And that's really what we're going to be talking about, is the Holy Spirit, because we want to clear up any confusion that any of us have in here about the Holy Spirit. So not only are we going to be looking in the book of Acts today and in the next several weeks, but we're going to be jumping around in the New Testament. We'll even make some application from the Old Testament, because believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is in existence in the Old Testament. Amen? Do y'all understand what I'm talking about? We'll get into that in a little bit. Maybe it'll be one of your fill in the blanks. Maybe it won't. Maybe you'll go home thinking, well, did that go in the fill in the blank? I don't know. Preacher didn't give us all the fill in the blanks. But here's the thing. Over the next several weeks, we're going to kind of wrap our thoughts around this. So each of us as disciples of Christ, every single person here should have this desire to fully understand who the Holy Spirit is. How we have these promises. And if there are one of the people here today who thinks the Holy Spirit is one of the things that you don't understand that well, some of you here today just say, well, I don't really understand completely the Holy Spirit, who He is, how He works. That's okay, because there's a lot of people who did not understand and who do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? You go to the Bible. If you can even go to Scripture. And there were disciples, believers in Jesus, who didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know this? Look with me. Flip over a few chapters to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them. Now understand, there he found some what? Disciples of who? Jesus. Disciples of Christ. And he asked them. Now this is an interesting question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now so basically what they were saying was, we don't even know what you're talking about. We have no understanding of this thing that you're talking about. We don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. And that's a lot of people's perspective today, even in the church, even in the modern day church. They may have heard of the Holy Spirit, but they don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So we want to talk about that, and we want to kind of refresh a little bit, because the Bible gives us some great information about how God's desire is for us to live an anointed life, to live an anointed, that we might be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Not anything weird or eerie about it, not anything that we shouldn't understand, not anything spooky about talking about the Holy Spirit. We just, as disciples of Christ, have to understand and apply to our lives every day this realization of who the Holy Spirit is, how He works in our lives. So we're going to look at two very simple questions today. And in those two simple questions, in our attempt to answer them, we're going to understand a little bit more than we did even last week about the Holy Spirit. So number one is this: who is He? Who is He? Who is the Holy Spirit? In John chapter 14, Jesus told His disciples that they were to love Him and keep His commands. He said that He would do something for them. He said, I'm going to do something for you, disciples who believe in me, and I'm going to ask my Father to send an advocate. He says, I'm going to ask the Father to send an advocate for you. I'm going to ask the Father to send an intercessor for you, to help you and to be with you forever. And basically, by extension, what Jesus was saying, He was asking the Father to send an advocate or an intercessor, the Holy Spirit, not only to be with the disciples of that generation, but that the Holy Spirit would be in the lives of all believers, even to our generation and beyond, until Jesus comes back to bring the church home to Him with glory. Amen? We understand that? Are we all on the same page? Say, we got it? All right, so we're all understanding that the Holy Spirit is an advocate that is to be for us even in our generation. In John chapter 14, if you jot this down, guys, I think I gave you this scripture up in the back. John chapter 14, verse 17 says this. It says that the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says the advocate then would be the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him. Why? The world cannot accept, is unable to receive Him because it neither sees Him. The world doesn't know Him. But here's the last thing He says. But, so the world doesn't even see Him. The world doesn't know Him. But you know Him. Why? How do we know Him? He says, because He remains with you and will be what? In you. So what the Word of God is saying here in the Gospel of John, He says that there is this Spirit of truth that is an advocate for us. There's a Spirit of truth that goes before the Father. He is our intercessor. And notice through this passage of Scripture that He's talking about the Spirit of truth. He says the world doesn't see Him. The world doesn't know Him. And then it goes on. He says, but you know Him. You know what? Who? That sounded crazy, didn't it? You know what? Who? You know what? The question here, who do you know? He says, you know Him. It doesn't say the world doesn't know it. The world doesn't know it, but you know it. That's not what it says. It talks to Him as a person. And that's the thing that's important for us to understand. The very first thing I want you to write down in your notes today, the Holy Spirit, He is a person. That's what John chapter 14, verse 17. And listen, I could have gone throughout several different references in the New Testament, but it's important for us to understand this is the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the person of Jesus the Son, and now the person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we talk about Holy Spirit, we're not praying, man, I hope it shows up today. Hope what shows up today? We really should say, man, I'm praying, I'm hoping He shows up today. In our worship time, in our Bible study time, in our Holy Spirit, we don't stop and pray and say, God, I really hope it falls on me today. What we really want to say is, God, I really hope You pour out Your presence, personal pronoun. I hope You are personally pouring out Your presence on me, because You, Father God, You, Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, and now You, Holy Spirit, are a person. So here's the second thing. John chapter 16, verse 17 says that He is our counselor. John chapter 16, verse 7 says this. Says, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. So Jesus is saying to His disciples, look, this is a good thing that I'm going away. He says, something's going to happen when I go away. He says, unless I go away, the counselor is not going to come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. So what Jesus was telling His disciples is, look, as long as I'm on this earth, and this is the multiplication factor of the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. As long as Jesus was on this earth in His physical body, right? Where could He be at one time? Man, this is a math question. Where? One place. In His physical body, He could be in one place at one time. Jesus couldn't do something like we might see in the movies. You know, I guess He could if He wanted to. He could if He spoke it and God the Father desired. But here's the thing. In His physical person, Jesus walked and spent the days with His disciples and walked from town to town. He didn't just all of a sudden just go, whoosh, I'm on the other side in another place on the planet. That's not what He did. It wasn't some weird thing like you saw in Star Trek where He walked in and then He got beamed over there. It didn't work like that. In His physical body, He was in one place at one time. But He said, look, He said, this is going to be better for you, because when I go away, the counselor is going to come to you. He says, when I go away, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And basically what He's saying is, God is going to unleash the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said, God is going to send down the person of the Holy Spirit, and it's God's presence which is everywhere at all times. Well, that sounds kind of cool. That sounds kind of hard to understand. But here's the promise that Jesus made. He says, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, is going to be with you everywhere in the life, taking up residence in the heart of every believer. Amen? It's God's presence. God's presence. Now, here's the second thing. And this is, or what are we on? 17? 3. All right. Number next. He is God. Not only is He our counselor, but He is God. So we often think, well, God the Father is God, and then Jesus, you know, the Son is just, that's Jesus, the Savior. And then the Holy Spirit, well, who's He? He's that guy over there in the corner. No, what we have to understand, the Holy Spirit is God. And you can go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, we see God is having a conversation before the creation of the world. And what does God say? He said, we will create him, talking about Adam and Eve, or we will create them. And He says, does anybody know what the word is? He said, in our image. Well, who's our? Who's He talking to? He's talking to the Son and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who were pre-existent before the creation of this physical planet. Do we understand that? So the Holy Spirit is God in existence before the creation of the world and all the inhabitants of the world. So we understand something about the Holy Spirit. We see it again in Acts chapter 5. Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And he says, and then he says something interesting. Peter said, you have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. So that's an interesting passage. That's an interesting statement. He's saying, look, you've lied to not just lied to the men on this planet in this room. He said, but you have lied to the person of the Holy Spirit. You've lied to God Himself. And that's interesting to understand. Matthew 28 verse 19 is this commandment that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the what? Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus was God, just as Yahweh, Father, is God. Here's something else you want to write down. He is my best friend. He is my best friend. Now, I love this. Now, listen, y'all don't hate on me, okay? Because I'm fixing to pull. Brett said, Sean, I can't find this verse of scripture anywhere in the Bible. We made it up the other day. No, I'm just kidding. There's a transliteration of scripture called The Message. I don't ever preach out of it. I rarely make a reference to The Message, which is this transliteration of scripture. But I just like the way it says this. Jesus is our, or the Holy Spirit is our best friend. Listen to what it says. Do you have it on the screen back there? Did you find it? All right, here's this hokey thing. But anyway, it's not hokey. It says this: the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Isn't that good stuff? I just like that. You know, I mean, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the person of God, church. Amen? That sometimes, has anybody in here ever felt alone? Anybody ever in here felt like just nobody cared? Nobody was with you? Nobody felt what you were going through? You were struggling through something? And this verse of scripture says, you know what about the Holy Spirit is? He is your intimate friend. The person of the Holy Spirit. God Himself is with you. And in your darkest days, in your most troubling hours, in the times that you are confused about the next step to take, the incredible promise of God fulfilled through the person of the Holy Spirit encourages us to know that the Holy Spirit, the person of God, we have an intimate friendship with God through the Holy Spirit. That's encouraging. It should encourage us every single day. So here's this thing. So if we have an intimate relationship, if we have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit, what is the promise? Here's the second question we're going to look at today. What is the promise that we have in regards to the Holy Spirit? What are the promises that we have about the Holy Spirit? Look at these real quick. John chapter 14, verse 16 says, I will ask the Father, He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This is your next fill in the blank. He will be with me. He will be with me. You see, when we're sometimes feeling like we're just out on a lark or out on a limb all by ourselves, and we think, man, I just feel so like God, like nobody knows what I'm struggling with. The Word says, understand this, the counselor will be with you. The person of God will be with you. Guys, I don't know about you, but I've gone through some stuff in my life where it just seemed like God was the only one with me. Amen? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one here today? I mean, there have been some times when I've really struggled and nobody else seemed to really understand what I was struggling with. Nobody understand the health concern. Nobody understood the relational struggles that I was having. Nobody understood the grief that I was feeling. Nobody could possibly understand the confusion and the doubt, sometimes the lack of faith that I walked through. And I'm just like, God, are you even there? And listen, God says, look, I am going to be with you. There's somebody here today, I guarantee you, in a crowd this size, there's somebody sitting on a pew in the sanctuary this morning. Nobody else in here may even know what you're struggling with. But the word that God wants you to understand today is He will be with you. He will be with you. He will abide with you. Sometimes we just need to stop for just a minute, turn off all the noise, and just say, God, I just need to be aware of your presence with me. I told a couple of guys this morning, on my long drive down here this morning, 3 more weeks of it. But anyway, I just don't want to keep bringing it up. 3 more weeks and we're moving. But anyway, here's the thing. If y'all need to buy any stuff, let me know. Anyway, y'all, I'm Facebook Marketplace, everything in my house. We're not going to bring much to Griffin with us. We're buying all new. Amen? If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I've been selling it all. You need a pair of size 9 snake boots? Anybody? Just let me know. Those are going on there tomorrow. All right, so anyway. But you know, they don't fit me. It pinches my toes. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, a little small. But anyway, here's the thing. Sometimes I was driving this morning coming in, and I was listening to this worship song, Oh Jesus. I was having some church up in the Chevrolet pickup truck. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Alf? I mean, I was just worshiping. And I was just listening to this, the words of these songs that I was singing. And I was driving. It was like Jesus take the wheel, because my knees were down underneath, and I was just, you know, driving like that. And I was just like, and one of the things talked about how it was just this assurance of the presence of God. And I mean, I just had tears coming down my eyes. Just tears just rolling out of my eyes, down my cheeks. And I was just thinking, wow, sometimes we just have to pause and get quiet. Sometimes we have to go on a long drive through the country just to stop and put out all that and just listen and understand that He will be with you. I hope that's a word for somebody today. You need to know that God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. His presence is with you. Here's the next thing. And this is important. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God teaches us this promise that the Holy Spirit will reveal the Bible to us. The Holy Spirit will reveal the Bible to us. How do we know that? Because in John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Do you see what he's saying? He says the Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things and will remind you. Now understand, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the future coming, the future fulfillment of the promise that the Holy Spirit would come. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible today. Jesus said it's the Holy Spirit. They were just walking around listening to the teachings, watching, experiencing life with Jesus every day. And Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of you, the Holy Spirit is going to call to your remembrance, will call to the forefront of your thought the things that I have told you. And here's the great thing for us in our generation. We have the written Word of God, the divinely inspired, inerrant Word of God. And we can read it and we can meditate on it. We can study it. And then when we're out talking to somebody and they're going through a struggle and we say, you know what? The Word of God said something the other day that I think applies. And the Holy Spirit says, let me tell you, this is what it is. Share this with them. Right? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you didn't really know how to respond to their situation? And all of a sudden you just start saying things that you never in a million years would have thought that you would have said to somebody. And God says, that's what I was telling you to tell them. I was revealing that to you. And you start quoting scripture, you know, from years ago. I was talking with somebody one day and I started sharing with them something I read in a Bible study from like 20 years before. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, the presence and the person of God, will call to your remembrance the Word of God, the things that He has given to us. That's powerful. Here's another promise. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word. That's what we're really wanting to understand. The Holy Spirit is going to call to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is going to light things up in your head. Now, how many of you guys have a dimmer switch in your house? Anybody have one of those? I love those dimmer switches. Sets the mood, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are too young. Just don't listen to what I'm about to say. Here, you know, sometimes when the kids are out of the house, you know? What? And I just kind of slide that dimmer switch down. Hey, baby, you want to watch a movie? She's like, turn the lights back on, I'm reading. All right, go shoot stuff. But anyway, here's the thing. So I'm have horrible vision. I'm night blind. So whenever I come into a room, I always turn all the lights on, Brother Ralph. I was like, I got to be able to see, or I go breaking toes or popping kneecaps out of socket. So even when we're watching a movie in our house down in the basement, we got a little movie area down there, and I'll come in and they'll have all the lights off, and they're sitting there with their popcorn eating, and I walk in and I turn the light on and I slide the dimmer down to right the it's like movie theater brightness. You know what I'm talking about? And there's like, why are you turning the light on? I was like, because I can't see. I just whacked my toe on the side of that couch. And Mackenzie and Melissa, they're like, turn the lights off. We can't watch. And well, here's the thing. You've got to understand, a dimmer switch, we slide it up and it gets brighter. And we slide it down and it gets darker. And I like it, you know, with the light on. Melissa, Mackenzie, not so much. Turn that off. Here's the thing. The Holy Spirit, the more that the Holy Spirit is active in our life, the more we are in tune with the Word of God, the more we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit says, if you'll listen to me, if you'll be sensitive to me, the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to slide the dimmer switch up and I'm going to begin to reveal to you more and more about the truths of these scriptures that you're looking at. I'm going to begin to call more into remembrance the things that you have heard and seen about me. Amen? Y'all hear what I'm saying? But what happens is when we get this spirit of rebellion in our lives and when we begin to reject the Word of God, it's like we are physically, we're not literally physically doing this, but spiritually and emotionally, what we're doing is we're sliding the dimmer down. Sometimes we're just flipping the switch off. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't need you to reveal that to me. I want to do what I want to do in the dark. Are y'all tracking with me? See, the Holy Spirit says, I want to come into your life and flip the switch and turn the dimmer all the way up and reveal some things to you about the truth of Scripture. And in our rebellion, we say, turn the light off. I don't want you to reveal it to me. I'm happy living here in the dark. So the Holy Spirit then comes and says, I want you to hear the Word and live the Word. Number next, the Holy Spirit's going to help us share Jesus with others. Not only does the Holy Spirit illuminate the truths of Scripture, but if you recall last week, we talked about this, if you were here last week, we said that the Holy Spirit is continually pointing people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is continually pointing people toward the Savior. Jesus, when he lived on the earth, was continually pointing people to the Father. The Holy Spirit then comes and illuminates the truth about who Jesus is and directs people to Jesus, the Savior, so they might in turn have a relationship with God the Father. Because there is no other way that a man may be saved except through who? His name is? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit then is illuminating the truths of Scripture, pointing people to the cross of Jesus Christ so that they might have a personal relationship with God the Father. And then he's going to help us in illuminating Jesus. He's going to help us in our generation lead other people to Jesus. John chapter 15 verse 26 says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. Do you see that? Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. He says when the Holy Spirit comes, this Spirit of truth going out from the Father is going to testify about me, Jesus. So everything that the Holy Spirit did, that's why we said last week, if you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you have been indwelled by the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into opportunities to share your faith with those who were lost. Folks, listen, why do we need to pray corporately as the church, independently or individually in our families, that we would be anointed with the freshness of the Holy Spirit? Why? Well, we talk about we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. We pray, we say, man, it sure would be nice to see those baptismal waters stirring up at the church. Well, the baptismal waters stir up at the church when the Holy Spirit is stirred up in the people, and we go out into the highways and hedges around this community, and because we're anointed and led by the Holy Spirit, we have this burden for the lost, and the Holy Spirit teaches us the words to say so that people might come to know Jesus. So if we want to see revival, we pray for the outpouring of fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in individual lives in the church. Not just, Holy Spirit, help the preacher preach today and get done by 12. And then we'll have revival. No, we're going to have revival when we're praying earnestly that the anointing of the Spirit would take up residence in our hearts, that we would be stirred by the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit with power to go out of this place. Let me tell y'all something. Church growth, we might want to write a book about this. This may be totally inaccurate, Brother Ralph. I just came up with it. True church growth is not dependent upon what happens inside the church on Sunday mornings. True church growth is dependent upon what happens outside the church Monday through Saturday as we are faithfully living out what the Holy Spirit leads us to speak and the lives we are commanded to pour into.
Amen.
That's church growth. Now we can, I gotta preach, brother. I got a whole sermon. So Acts 1:8 says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my what? You'll be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all to the ends of the earth. Folks, we are the ends of the earth. Do you understand? That's our job, our responsibility. Number next. He'll convict me of sin. Man, that's tough. John 16 verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is convicts us of sin. Why do we not like hearing from the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit sometimes makes us uneasy in our own skin because he's convicting us of sin. Isaiah chapter 30, all the way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, whether you turn to the left or to the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What's that voice? It's the voice of the person of the Holy Spirit. The more we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit will be our counselor. He'll be our director or guider along the pathways of life. He'll give us, if we're sensitive to the word of the Holy Spirit, he'll give us a clarity about decisions we're to make, relationships we are to be in and are not to be in. Number five, this is the last one. Everybody say we're ready to go to lunch. Everybody say, Holy Spirit says we want to stay here all afternoon and talk about this, preacher. Can I get a word? All right, everybody. We were down with that first thing about lunch. He will guide me. Last one. He will guide me through life. He will guide me through life. John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Man, listen, there is so much. You know, I was thinking about this week. How can I stand in front of a group of people and explain the fullness of the person of God in the Holy Spirit? It's impossible. But what is possible, I believe, it is for us, individually and corporately as the body, to earnestly, with an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, to begin praying passionately, desperately, that the Holy Spirit would fall on us, that the Holy Spirit would move in us, individually, in our families, and then corporately as the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit would move in us in such a way that he would be our guide. We would begin to sense his presence as our intimate friend. That we would allow him to lead us into a deeper and deeper, closer relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And that the Holy Spirit would burden us to be his witnesses when we go outside of this church. To be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sensitive to the needs of the people around us, and to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to use us and our obedience as servants to change lives outside the walls of the church so that we can bring people closer to Christ. Let's pray together.